No. We should do an all day praise and worship is what we should do. I got a one amen on that. Okay. Amen. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And you know, may I just say while you're turning there, you know, I'm going to give you some five things here. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Because worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace will guard our minds and our hearts. Now, our mind, through Christ Jesus. So when it says here, be anxious for nothing, that's worrying. That's actually worrying. See, worry is like a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. The New Life version of those same scriptures says, do not worry. Do not worry. Learn to pray about everything. Turn your worries into prayers. Give thanks to God as you ask Him for what you need. The peace of God is much greater than the human mind can understand. This peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The more we pray, the less we'll panic. The more we worship, the less we'll worry. We will have the peace of God. And we'll have more patience and be less pressured. When we get hung up on the worrying, we lose our peace because we are not focusing and trusting in God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look to verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. See, we got to get past the worrying. We got to get past it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Who's speaking here, by the way? That's right. Jesus is speaking here. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He has Joe and Tony take care of them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Another version says, and which of you by worrying can add even 1 hour to his life? We're going to pause there, but here's some statistics concerning worry and stress. But I want to start out something I was interested in. It said 30% of the workers suffer back pains. 20% feel fatigued. 13% suffer from headaches. Well, listen to this. Anxiety disorders cost the United States more than $42 billion per year. Anxiety. That's worry. 19.1 million, that's 13.3% of the adult U.S. population between 18 and 54, suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. 43% of adults suffer adverse stress health effects. Two-thirds of all office visits to PCPs are due to stress-related symptoms. 64% of Americans say they are taking steps to reduce stress in their lives. Stress is linked to the six leading causes of death: heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. Stress is said to be responsible for more than half of the 550 million work days lost annually because of absenteeism. Stress. Worry. Worry. Quit your worrying. In verse 27, what Jesus asked the question, which of you by worrying can add 1 hour to his life? Or can add 1 cubit to his stature? Jesus tells us, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing? Not many of us actually let the word get into our hearts and allow the love of God to free us from the habit of worrying. Worrying is a habit. How do you break a habit? It's a 21-day thing, right? How about not worrying for 21 days? Can you do it? You don't ever know until you try it. Try it. You may be happy. You see, there are times we are all like children, though. You know, we hear... They hear their parents telling them what they need to know and what they need to do. But somehow it goes in one ear and out the other because we didn't put a stopper in. Right? I mean, we've got the word. I got to let it stay in. And we got to get it in. But the truth of the matter is this. No matter what amount of worrying, you can't lengthen your life. And you can't add anything to your physical person. Instead of worrying, see, well, worrying robs you of everything. Do you know that? Your peace, your restful night's sleep, robs you of your health. And your time. And it does it time after time after time. Worry. In fact, it is only when you stop the worrying that God's anointing will flow freely in you, strengthening, healing, and restoring. Worrying is all about what you can do, not what God can do. Worrying keeps the emphasis on you, while trusting God takes you completely out of the scenario. Or as some people say, out of the picture. When you stop trying to do it on your own and rely on God's ability to take care of the situation, no matter what it is, that's when the stress stops and the resting in God's ability starts. That's when the peace of God that transcends all understanding takes over the situation. That peace, God's peace. When you trust in the Lord and you're praying, trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. During the 1800s, the French general, Georges Malher Massena, who took orders from Napoleon, arrived at a quaint and military important Austrian town. His 18,000 soldiers were gearing up for their invasion as the stunned Austrian citizens were lifeless and terrified. Knowing they were about to be beaten, killed, sold into slavery, or worse, they laid plans for the counterattack. Well, what did they do? Well, since it was Easter Sunday, and their upcoming deaths were imminent, regardless of their defense, they went to church. Figuring their only defense was direct intervention from their Creator. They rang the church bells, put on their Sunday best, and worshiped the Lord. They raised a hallelujah. When services ended, the Austrian prayer warriors opened the church doors to find the entire French battalion had vacated. It turns out the French general incorrectly confused the ringing of the church bells for Easter service with what he thought was the announcement of the arrival of the entire Austrian army. The city was saved and Christ was glorified. Then that's what we should do. We should do that every time. Just give it over to the Lord. Let Him deal with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And let the peace of God reign. Let it reign. And we should do it long before we have been exhausted and spent. Yeah, we get all spent worrying. You know, we worry, and the thing of it is, we'll come to the same conclusion every time. Each and every time. And you know what that is? We just can't do it. No matter how many times we try to do it on our own, without God's help, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, He can handle it. He can handle it. And He will help you. He will help you through it. He will help you through it. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. You might want to put it, we're going to come back to Matthew later here. But Jeremiah 32. And we're going to look to verse 17. Ain't nothing too hard for Him. Verse 17. O sovereign Lord, You made the heavens and earth by Your strong hand and Your powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 here. I'm doing this to build you up what the Word says. Because we're going through a lot. All of us are. And if He can heal one of a brain aneurysm, He can heal you. Don't sit down and say, well, why me? I've been waiting. That's where you run into problems. Got to get to the point where you totally trust Him. Totally trust Him. Because He's not a respecter of persons. That's when you look at that and say, I thank you, Lord. You're not a respecter of persons. I know that what you did for them, you're going to bring that healing upon me. You're going to bring that healing upon my spouse. You're going to bring that healing upon my child, whoever it is. That's how you say it. You're not a respecter of persons. It's what your Word says. So what you did for her, you'll heal my wife. You'll heal my son. You'll heal my daughter. You'll heal my Luke. You're there in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that? You should. That's the uncompromised Word of God that I just gave and read to you. It's not only for you, it's for me. And I say that to myself every time that I have a situation facing me. No matter how small it is or how big it is. I look at it and say that. I say with God, nothing is impossible. The voice, I like what the voice says. The voice says it this way. Because it answers that. So the impossible is possible with God. The impossible is possible with God. Simply believe. It's easy for you to say, Pastor Jack. Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. You don't think I have compassion on what you're going through? I do. But I know that it's the Word that works. It's the Word that's going to get us through. It's the Word that delivers. And if you need a new liver, it delivers on the liver. We have testimony to that fact. Doubt not in your heart. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Remember that God is your helper. God is your helper. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I like that. I like what the Message Bible says. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what I'm facing. Who or what can get to me? Who or what can get to me? Nothing. Nothing. So why worry? Which of you by worrying can add even 1 hour to his life? Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place is open to whoever believes. We are believers. The door is open to the secret place for us. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you will enjoy His security and protection, which gives you peace. A peace that will surpass all understanding. Put you into that state of tranquility. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and that is a trap, and from the perilous, and the word perilous means dangerous, pestilence. And pestilence is plague. That's coronavirus. He will deliver you from it. You can be over there in Italy amongst it and don't be nowhere near it and have no fear of it because it won't come nigh thee. Because He's the one who shall deliver you. He shall deliver you. Verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You say that when you walk into your house. You know, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just enhance on this next week on Psalm 91. So I think we need that. But in Philippians, it says, do not worry. Learn to pray about everything. Give thanks to God as you ask Him for what you need. Did you hear what I said? Give thanks to God as you ask. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. That's how you start. I thank you, Father. You haven't even received it. I thank you, Father. And you will receive it. Start out with thanking Him. Because that shows Him that you're not doubting that He's going to deliver for you. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually. Yeah. Yes. The peace of God is much greater than the human mind can understand. This peace will keep your hearts. And your hearts here, just to clarify, that's our spirit, our inner man, our actual spiritual life. And minds, the part of us that thinks, our thought process, our CPUs, through Christ Jesus. Worry uses our imagination to create something we don't want. I realize we live in this world, and when we look around, we can get discouraged, and we get distracted. Oh, I'm sure it'd be nice. You might think that, well, if life were one mountaintop experience after another, but if life were that easy, it wouldn't require much faith now, would it? We would be able to take care of everything on our own. It would be great. It would just be a DIY kind of life. You know, the do-it-yourself life. You know, oh, and by the way, you know, all of humanity, they already think that it is a DIY kind of life. You know, that's what almost everyone you talk to, you come up to, you know what? You find out they're so worked up. They're worried. They're stressed out. And they're stressed out all the time. It's not a do-it-yourself. First Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, NIV. See, we are to be there for one another. We're to be there to build one another up. Because what does it say right here in this scripture? Therefore, encourage one another. What are we to do? Encourage one another. And build each other up. Build each other up. So, when we talk to someone who is worked up, worried, and stressed out, we are to uplift them, encourage them, and encourage them in the Word compassionately. Yeah, I've seen people use the Word, but don't do it in compassion. You got to do it compassionately. Because that's how Jesus operated. He operated in love and compassion. He always had compassion. We need to help them strengthen their faith. And that is by speaking God's word to them. So we are to do that. Because we know what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Give them the word. The word works. Always has and always will. They may be resistant at first, but when they take time and seal it, the word will start to come to them and they'll say, wow, that's why they said that. And gets them back in focus. Where they should be focusing. Who they should be trusting and relying on. Because they can't get themselves out of it. Only God. Only God. And when we get to that point of knowing it's only God, we'll be a lot better off. I encourage myself and got to go through that daily. Who am I? Who am I? And when I look to Him, I know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am worthy because He made me worthy. Because, as Denny has quoted many times, without Him, I'd be nothing but a dust ball. We all need to reflect on that. The breath of life. His breath is what brought man to life. His breath is in you. It's in you and me. When we put our faith and confident trust in God, peace will be the reigning factor in our hearts. Because in Colossians, as we've read, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. Be thankful for that. Worry doesn't have to be a constant struggle if we allow the peace of Christ in our hearts rule. Psalm 55. I'm glad I didn't leave Psalms. Get there quick. Psalm 55. When we're going to look to verse 22. Verse 22. See, the Lord will strengthen and support us physically and mentally. And if you're there in Psalm 55, 22, it says to cast your burden. Burden is worry. And you look it up. Burden is worry. Cast your worries on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Sustain means He will strengthen and support us both physically and mentally. And He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 25. New Life Version. Worry in the heart of a man weighs it down. If worry is in the heart, then the ruling peace of God isn't there. But it goes on to say, but a good word makes it glad. A good word makes the heart, and the heart will be happy, and it will be light. Worry in the heart of a man weighs it down. You know what it's like when your spirit gets weighed down? You don't feel like doing nothing. You start to sit down and say, oh, where is God? Where is God? He's there with you all the time. He's actually inside you. Greater is He that is inside of you than he that is in the world. Reflect upon Him. Realize that. Helps get you out of those down moments. So when someone calls you to give you a word or give you a scripture, what's nice is that's what I like to text. You text somebody something and you give them a word and they go, wow, I needed that. Because you don't know at the time what they might be dealing with. But when God puts it on your heart, it's Holy Spirit led. That's the time you do it. You don't wait. You don't wait. Because if you wait, I'm telling you, it's not a fun place to be in. I've been there. Not done what I've been told to do by God. And somebody else does it, and I go, wow. That should have been me. You know what I did? I robbed myself of a blessing. 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Now, Pastor, you're using a lot of these same scriptures. Yeah, because they bear repeating. They need emphasized more and more and more in our lives because of what we end up going through. This world is not a nice place to live. But with God, we can enjoy the time we're here. Because it's all about Him. And what the purpose He has for us. He's got work for us to do. So we don't want to be weighed down. And you're weighed down when you carry them burdens and worries. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Living Bible. Let him have all your worries and cares. For He is always thinking about you. You're always on His mind. And watching everything that concerns you. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. Everywhere. All the time. You're not alone. The devil wants to make you think you're alone. You are never alone. Thing is, there's a lot of Christians out there that they know this, but they choose to worry and stress themselves out. Yeah. Why? But they do. Okay, like I said, back to Matthew chapter 6. The Lord knows what we need. Knows what we need all the time. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. And if you just give it to God, you'll have peace. We're going to read the 27 through 34 in the Message Bible. Has anyone by fussing in front of a mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They neither primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. Verse 30. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, much and most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I'm going to read that again. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Because nothing's too hard for the Lord. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Why worry about things and get robbed of your peace? But Pastor, those are things that concern me. Well, what should be concerned for us is summed up in one statement. Or I should say one sentence there. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sounds easy, doesn't it? God made it that easy. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That was easy.
Then why does it seem so hard to do? Because the answer is found in seeking what God can do for you, not what you can do for you. God tried to make it as easy as possible for us. He said, just seek after me and my righteousness. Relax, sit back, and watch me do everything else. Watch him do everything else. But what about the problems in my life that's going on right now? Seek God, and you'll find it in the everything else. What about those little issues that keep bugging us? Seek God and you'll find it in the everything else. Well, what about this and that, which is to come? Can I give you a 3-step process to get your answer? Are you ready for this? Step 1, seek God and His righteousness. Step 2, have faith He will take care of it for you. Step 3, repeat steps 1 and 2 until you get your answer. God makes life easy. He's made it easy. We got to quit making it hard. Quit making it hard on Him to do His job. His job is to take care of His children. And we are His children. He wants to take care of you. Do you want to take care of your kids? You better believe it. You do. And if it takes correcting them, you correct them, don't you? When God corrects you, that's when you say, thank you, Daddy. I needed that. I needed to get back in line with you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God made it just that easy. It's our human nature that's always complicating things for us. We always seem to try to make things harder. Harder than what they are. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Did you ever see that on some of them cartoons? You see this huge thing on a shadow, and you look, and it's just a little wee mouse or something walking on the screen. Worry magnifies it to bigger than what it is. The more we let worry in us, the bigger it seems. The more down you become, and it starts robbing you of the faith. And that's why we need to be there for one another, to encourage one another and to build one another up. And we do that by giving each other the word. Each other. People have spoken it to me too, when I've needed it. Let me tell you this. If I had a certificate, say I had a certificate, you know, that was the law of the land, and it was signed by the president, and the official stamp of the government was on, say, on the certificate that I had, and it was notarized and is recorded as a matter of public record. And it said this, follow these words to a stress-free life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you had that document in your hand, would it make it any easier for you? So we don't have man's word on it. Nope. No, but on that subject, what we do have, we have God's word on it. Words that we can take hold of, stand on, and believe that what He says will happen, will happen. See, we don't have a contract written on a piece of paper, framed and hung on our walls. We have the covenant that God made with Abraham thousands of years ago. And that includes all of His heirs and descendants forever. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's us. All who believe. We are heirs of Abraham through our salvation in Jesus. We are accepted. We are accepted. Jesus is our Savior. And when we made that, we became sons and daughters and truly a part of God's family. We became sons and daughters of the King. What's that make us? King's kids. King's kids. That's what it makes us. You might say, what is a covenant? Oh, it's like a contract. Yet, it is more than a contract. See, it's better than a contract. A contract is binding only for a period of time or until certain obligations have been lived up to. But a covenant is forever. Forever. When you realize all that God has done for us to provide and take care of us, it brings a new meaning to the, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has done His part. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what will happen next to you. When you know the truth will make you free. And God's word is truth. Now I'm just going to give you, I'm going to move, last scripture, because I think this is a great way to close. So I can come back to some more little things I have, but 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. The Living Bible. May the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace no matter what happens. The Lord be with you all. Shalom, shalom. And from my era, peace out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to have a meeting.